I think that's...
Well, sorry, it's like Hey Arnold.
Wait, I
now
never
have to edit.
I didn't grow up with Hey Arnold.
Oh God, I'm so old.
Well, I mean, I could have. I just didn't have cable.
Yeah.
I watched DVDs growing up. That's it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I know
Monkey Man. I don't think that's actually from Hey Arnold. I don't know what that's.
Hey Arnold's got a triangle head.
Football, spiky hair. Yeah.
Okay.
Football head.
Oh, football hat.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. No, he had a unique head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a staple of my childhood because that's who I wanted to be.
Better than Caillou.
And I don't know. See, you Gen Zers. crazy anime.
I'm half and half. Caillou's not anime.
Sounds like anime.
Caillou's the annoying. Okay, I don't actually know if he has cancer or not, but like everybody hates him and he's bald. He's a little bald kid. And I don't think he has cancer. But I do think that all of my friends disparage Caillou for sure, like so much. No. Like that show was the worst. It was awful.
What kind of cartoon?
I don't think he has cancer, but he's bald. It's like, why is he bald? So yeah, when I was a kid, I was like, he probably has cancer.
That would track. Oh man.
Anyway, welcome back.
I know you.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Waveframe podcast series we're calling Film Chat. It's a series where we talk about movies and a little bit about music. I'm your host, Isaac, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Brian. Yeah.
We're so slappy,
man. Yes.
This is what happens when it's after 8 p.m.
Dude, we usually do this, like, in the afternoon.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 2 p.m.
Full workday has elapsed.
Exactly.
And before we kick off the episode, I want to plug our podcast Instagram, at WaveframePod, where you can stay up to date on our episodes and fun art. We post that sometimes when I'm not too busy. Also, my personal Instagram is at ip.deboer. I post some art there. And Brian, as usual, do you have any plugs?
No plugs.
That's fine, man.
No plugs. Someday I'll get plugs.
Hey, did you? What kind of plugs?
Exactly.
Okay. Did you do stand-up in the past month or so?
No.
Okay.
I bumped it back. They asked if I could reschedule sooner.
Okay.
But I couldn't, so bumped it back.
Gotcha.
But it's coming.
So it's in the...
I was working on a bit today.
The brain crock pot's working.
Yes. Yeah. Nice. I was working on one in the car today.
Lovely.
That's where driving is where I like
write
comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I'm at my best.
I sometimes write comedy when I'm trying to fall asleep.
Oh.
And it's annoying. Because I'll need to like write it down, and usually I don't.
You do know you don't have to do that.
No, I just like it happens.
Oh,
or,
okay, yeah,
like I don't try to do it. It just happens. Oh,
okay, I thought you were trying.
No.
You can pick a different
time. No, that would be the idiotic move. No, so like or if I have like an article to write for the Post Calvin, then I'll just like my brain will write it.
Yeah.
On autopilot.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be like editing and writing as I'm laying there.
Now that you have some free time.
Exactly.
Let's go to work on this.
Exactly, yeah.
Next brain.
Yeah. But yeah, today we're talking about Monkey Man, which we got to talk about what we're grateful for. This is the most chaotic podcast we've had in a while. But yeah, just stay tuned for Monkey Man. But right now, what I'm grateful for is Jenny's ice cream.
Because
it was really good to share with you guys.
Oh, it was so good.
But also, it was nice as a treat today. And we're going to celebrate my brother's engagement with Jenny's ice cream, and I can't wait. So, very excited about that. Also, we're having Bateo's in Grand Haven, which is this, like, on the side of the road kind of store / food truck that has the best burritos in Michigan.
Nice.
It's really good.
Wait, Bateo's?
So BOTELLOS.
Yeah. Where?
In Grand Haven.
Yeah, is it like on the way to Grand Haven or is it?
It's like off the highway.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you had it?
Yes.
Dude.
That place is magical.
It's amazing.
And no one knows about
it. Yes.
Because it's just this little...
Yeah.
It's next to the store.
Right? Yeah.
The store.
Exactly.
Yep.
And it's kind of on your way to the beach or whatever, and it's great.
Yeah.
So we're doing that. Yeah.
Oh, God. bless.
I'm so glad you know about it.
I used to work in Grand Haven.
Okay, nice.
And I would drive by there on the way to work.
Yeah.
But I have not been there in years, so.
Well, we'll have to do it this summer.
Bless them.
What are you grateful for?
I also am going to plug a local business.
Love it.
So this is a little bit of a story, a little bit of backstory. I'm going to a wedding tomorrow.
Love it.
And it's a couple of younger people in their 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And the last wedding I went to for people in their 20s, I realized people don't wear ties anymore to weddings.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to learn. So. It was me and the two dads. And I got really like curmudgeon-y about it. I was like making fun of the people. I was like, wait, hey, way to dress up, you know? Like, kid was wearing shorts and a rumpled button up. And I was like, I guess this is cool.
So you're talking about even the people standing up usually don't wear ties, or you're just saying anybody who comes to the wedding?
In this wedding, the people standing up weren't wearing ties.
Okay.
Most of the time, they still are.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But people attending weddings
don't
wear ties anymore.
You can do whatever you want.
I kind of like wearing a tie, but and I had one wedding outfit forever.
Okay.
Because I was like, this will never go out of style. I was dead wrong. So today I went to get a sports jacket.
Nice.
You know?
Yeah.
Because you can't just wear a white shirt.
Little blazer?
Yeah, a little blazer. A little blazy.
Yeah.
I don't actually know the difference.
Whatever.
But
one probably has those elbow pads.
Yeah, right.
Probably. In case you go rollerblading.
Yeah.
Looking like a professor.
And I went to a place called the New Yorker in Grand Rapids.
Oh.
And they were so nice.
Oh, good.
And I am intimidated by fashion. I don't know what I'm doing.
Okay.
I just wear the same stuff every day.
Uh-huh.
And they were really friendly and kind. And then they were like, hey, we'll knock $50 off out the door.
Oh, my word.
Because it's your first time. And I was like, wow, what a lovely location. So,
dude, that's great.
If you need fancy clothes, fancy menswear, the New Yorker in Grand Rapids.
Is that in East Town?
Yeah, it's by Yesterdog.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I have walked past that so many times and thought like, oh yeah. The outside doesn't look great.
No.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Okay, I'm glad the inside is great.
Yeah, it's a little. You might have a little concern upon walking in as well. The thing that threw me off was none of the employees were dressed like they worked there.
Oh, no.
So this woman approached me, and she did not look like she worked there.
Uh-huh.
She's like, can I help you with anything? And I was like, can you? But she was fantastic.
That's amazing.
Yeah, answered all my questions, gave me $50 off.
That's so great.
Yeah.
Dude, awesome. Word of mouth is the best advertisement.
Yeah.
So
we'll get
the fact that you're telling me about it means that I probably will in the next 5 years go there.
Yeah. We're going to get all these places to sponsor this podcast.
Yeah, dude.
Jenny's Ice Cream, Patello's, the New Yorker.
Yeah, it's so good.
What if we're sponsored by the New Yorker?
Well, we could do it in that fancy font so it looks like the magazine.
The store does.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they totally have stolen it. It's crazy.
That's fun. Yeah, that'd be great. Then we could be fancy. Would you ever want to do a video like where
we're wearing suit coats and eating ice cream?
Yes.
And burritos.
But also like just like as a podcast, you know how a lot of them are taped.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you ever want to do that?
Oh yeah.
Let's do that sometime.
That would be so fun.
Yeah, that'd
then
be great.
People, yeah.
Scoochie Boochie's coming out with a podcast on April 20.
Whoa.
It's called Holy Smokes.
Oh, I've heard. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they get a little high and they read the Bible and laugh and joke and talk about it.
God bless.
Yeah.
So that's a good premise.
I'll be listening to that one.
Yeah. That sounds like one I'll tune into like every once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, when I don't know what else to listen to.
Yeah. But I just want to see what it's like and I think it'll be good.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're talking about Monkey Man today. This is a movie that came out in 2024. But to the best of my knowledge, started filming in 2019. Or maybe pre-production happened in 2019. And then it was filming during COVID.
Ah,
which
gotcha.
Is crazy.
Did they have to like shut down?
So I know you like it when we say the synopsis first.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Do you want to give it a shot or do you want me to do it?
I'll give it a rip.
Okay, do it.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, should we do spoilers or no? No spoilers.
No spoilers.
Because it's still in theaters.
Yes, we're doing no spoilers. Okay. Yeah, we're doing no spoilers.
It's a classic, like, revenge arc.
Yeah.
But you've got Dev Patel, who wrote, directed, stars in it.
Yeah.
And he is working on avenging his mother's death which mm-hmm. isn't, that's not giving anything significant away.
No, there's not a lot to spoil in this movie.
Yeah.
But
it's kind of what light. You'd expect. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he's avenging his mother's death, and he has one attempt that fails, and then he sort of regroups, goes through a little bit of a personal transformation, meets some people at an, I believe it's an ashram, is probably where he is.
Shrug.
Yeah.
I wish I could help you.
Shrug. Yeah. Some version.
Uh-huh.
And then, again, seeks revenge on the political figures and police forces that have caused him a lot of trauma.
Yeah.
That gets revealed throughout the movie.
Major strife.
So, yeah.
That was great. I think that was good. I think the trailer gave most of those beats, you mm-hmm. know, so I think we're safe there.
Yeah.
But I wrote a bunch of notes because I did brief little watch some interviews mm-hmm. and the production of the movie is wild.
Yeah.
So
I've heard some things.
Yeah.
I listened to a conversation podcast about it, but as usual, you'll be teaching.
Well, I mean, I was trying to think of a good metaphor for this, but I feel like this is just what came to my brain. So it's not a good one, but it's like trying to play Frogger, you mm-hmm. know, Frogger, but yeah. but you also have a Terminator chasing you. that's what the
yeah.
production of this movie, according to Dev Patel, was like. So yeah, COVID happened right before they were going to start the biggest chunk of filming. Mm-hmm. So they were going to film in Mumbai in the biggest, I think he said biggest slum in Mumbai. And he was really excited about it. But then COVID happened and they just weren't allowed to be there anymore. So mm-hmm. they had to move to Indonesia.
Mm.
So they were in an island and a lot of their crew had to be switched out. So yeah. they had the crew, the stunt crew, or at least most of them from John Wick to help them out.
Oh, wow.
But they had to go because of COVID.
Yeah.
So then he found somebody on YouTube who's supposedly awesome and he got him instead.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's kind of the story of this movie, is that they had to pivot three or four times and just scrappy, you know, figure it out as they go.
Yeah.
He broke his hand right at the beginning of filming
mm-hmm.
Or near the beginning. And so then he was so good at the choreography, he said. You could tell he was really proud of how well he was memorizing the choreography.
Yeah.
But then he had to totally change the choreography, so he only used one hand.
Oh, my gosh.
Because they put a nail in his hand, the doctor did, so that it would heal properly.
Yeah.
But if he put, 2 pounds of pressure on the hand, it could snap. And Deb Patel was the way they explained it to him was trying to take a bent nail out of wood if it snapped.
Oof.
So you would just ruin things worse if that happened.
Yeah.
So I didn't notice any of this, but supposedly he was favoring one hand the whole time
it
during
choreography. Really looked like he was using both fists.
I know, right?
Gotta tell you.
Yeah. A two-fist insane man.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so then, supposedly the crew made T-shirts of the X-ray, and one of the X-rays was, the, okay emoji, because you had to do that in order to get one of them.
Yeah.
And so, for you listeners out there, I'm doing the, okay hand signal,
mm-hmm.
where your three fingers are up. I don't know how to explain that.
There's a circle.
But your thumb and index finger are together. Is this the index finger?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Okay, hold on.
Right?
You didn't know which finger was your index finger?
I always get it mixed up with the middle finger, but I shouldn't because the middle finger is called the middle finger.
Right.
But I thought it was two names for one finger.
Oh, interesting.
I always get it mixed up, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's just something that happens.
I mix up my fours and my sevens.
Really?
Sure, I don't know why.
That's amazing.
I'll go to write a four and I'll write a seven. This isn't right.
That's
this
amazing.
This is incorrect. Yeah, it's weird.
But yeah, the crew, I think, rallied behind this idea of, there's one tiny nail holding this whole thing together.
Yeah.
And if something goes wrong, then
yeah,
we got to figure it out or it's going to be horrible.
And
Dev Patel, he was finding it really frustrating to be in the Hollywood industry because he was getting roles for you know, the guy behind in the chair, like the hacker dude, like the typing on laptops and computers. So he was in that movie Chappie with Neil Blomkamp directing. Oh, yeah. And he was like the nerdy guy.
Yeah.
And so then he thought to himself, okay, I need to write my own movie so that I can be the action star.
That's awesome.
And he initially didn't want to direct this movie. He wanted Neil Blomkamp to do it. Mm-hmm. But the guy who directed Elysium.
Oh, yeah. Which is
a very mediocre movie.
Super average.
Yeah, exactly.
Should have been three movies. It was way too,
Yeah. And he did District 9 and Chappie. And I've never seen Chappie, and I don't want to.
Nor have I.
But Neil Blomkamp, to his credit, first of all, he said, no, you should direct this movie because I've never been to India. So, like, I don't want to do this movie. And second of all, he just directed that video game movie, the Gran Turismo movie.
Gran Turismo, yeah.
Yeah, Gran Turismo movie. And people said that was fine. It was pretty good. Stranger Things guy was in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seemed average.
Good for him. And everybody just kept telling him, like, it seems like you're really passionate about this. You should probably direct this.
Yeah.
And so then he just kind of found himself in the leadership position and he did it. And he would improvise where he's like, I need this shot, but we only have a certain amount of night left or something like that. So he would use his own iPhone. So, like, when he's in that small, like, Nicki Minaj car, what do you call it?
I don't know
what you call that.
I don't remember.
It's like a motorized tuk-tuk or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was like, there are shots in the movies where it's my iPhone or it's a GoPro. Like, we would just do whatever.
Oh, my word.
To scrape by.
Wow. Yeah. It really doesn't feel like that.
I agree.
It feels the way the movie came off. It feels like they had plenty of time and money and everything went great.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, it's a testament to how much ingenuity can, I don't know if the right word is band-aid, but he said like he had a lot of resentment against these roadblocks, but really it makes you more creative. Mm-hmm. It makes you figure out through trial and error what the movie actually needs to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can see he doesn't, one of the things I really liked about it was he doesn't fit sort of your classic action hero, like, look and vibe.
Yeah.
Like, he's lanky.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, like, it was like, oh, yeah, they can punch, too. Like,
that could be still me.
Probably hurt.
Yeah.
And, like, his, like, just the way he presents himself is very almost like somber. Like I really liked him in The Green Knight, which is kind of an action movie but not really.
No, that is not an action movie. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
There is action
in the movie,
right? But yeah. But he was perfect for that role because it's a sort of morose character.
Yeah,
that kind of has that like face and sort of posture to him, but it was
He doesn't have to say words for you to feel like there's a history to him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so you don't think typically like a very violent action movie type role for him, but it like he nailed it.
Yeah, he really did.
It was great.
Yeah. I feel like he has soulful eyes.
Yes. That's a much better way of saying what I was trying to say. Yeah.
Well, I agreed with all the things you were saying.
Yeah.
And speaking of eyes, you know when he's doing that bathroom fight and he like gets slammed on the ground? There's a bunch of dirty water on the ground. Supposedly he got an eye infection from that.
Oh my gosh.
Just gross, horrible water.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then I just have a few more things for my notes here. Yeah, so like sometimes the budget would just run out and until like somebody in the studio system who was like helping them make this movie would, in his words, give them a credit card to be like, all right, go buy what you need.
Love that.
So like there weren't tops to the tables in the like strip club scene. And so they just kind of filmed things from like chest up for like 2 days until they got like tables where you could set down glasses and drinks and stuff.
That is wild.
And at one point his gaffer, who's like the lead light technician coordinator, died from a heart attack.
Oh Holy cow.
Yeah. So there's just a lot going on. And Netflix bought this movie and then decided we don't think it's like a movie we want. So they tried to shop it around and sell it to other people. Mm-hmm. And Dev Patel's such a gentleman that he'll just say like the studio that shall not be named. He doesn't even call out Netflix in interviews.
Wow.
And then what happened was Jordan Peele saw the movie, was like, wow, Dev Patel's really good in this. Like, who directed this? Mm-hmm. And then was like, oh, it's Dev. And he loved it. He resonated with it. And so then his studio, Monkey Paw Studio, which is funny, like monkey.
Yeah.
I did
enjoy that.
Yeah, same. Yeah. He got Universal on board too. And yeah, so then they actually put it in theaters, and I think they edited it just a little differently so that it would play better in theaters versus on a TV and at home.
Yeah.
So.
Nice.
Just, it all came together, but wow, like 4 years of strife. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you want to call it, but yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the interviewers, I think his name's Chris Hardwick from the BBC, he was gushing with praise, kind of like I am right now, to Dev Patel. And that's where I got a lot of my information from.
Oh, yeah.
And at the end, Dev Patel's like beaming and he's like, hey, man, can I give you a hug? he gets up and hugs him. It's amazing.
That's so nice.
Yes, yes.
Dang, yeah. That's really fun.
Yeah. It might have been Chris Hewitt. I can't remember his name. But I know it's a Chris, and he works with the Empire podcast too.
Nice.
Anyway, so those are like some fun facts about the movie. But overall, I just think the movie was a joy to watch it unfold.
Yeah.
And I think all the supporting characters did a really great job.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I loved the dirty, grimy, slimy, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Really worked for me.
Yeah.
They would like get the camera dirty and... you know, it was very different from John Wick in a lot of ways because things got a lot more messy and it just felt more slapdash, but not in a bad way.
Yeah. I think I remarked as we were walking back from the movie, a lot of the fight scenes were really close in.
Mm.
And it was almost like, how did the camera fit in there?
Yeah.
They must have been like dodging the camera at certain points, but it really like it felt very I think visceral's mm-hmm. probably the right word, where like you really felt like you were in it.
Yeah.
And it's like, heads up if you're thinking about seeing it, super bloody.
Yeah,
they do not hold back.
Yeah, gruesome.
But I really liked one comment I heard somebody say about it, which was it had the thing they look for in like a very violent action movie, which is a moment that is so over the top that you have to laugh at it.
Oh yeah.
And there are actually several moments.
Yes.
And it seems like the movie was pretty aware of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like when it was going over the top, it was on purpose and sort of tongue in cheek. Mm-hmm. Like when he's in like the training montage and he takes his shirt off and everybody's whistling at him. Yes. It's a bit much, but it seemed like it knew that.
Yeah.
And when he puts the knife in his mouth.
Yes, dude, I was about to say that.
Yeah. And then the switch to heavy metal music.
Yes, right after the like, or not orchestral, but like acoustic, like classical music.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or was it right after the song that sounded like it was from a Bollywood movie?
Maybe.
I think that was it.
Yeah. There was a lot of music changes in here.
Yes. Yeah. And I thought they did all of them really well.
Yeah.
The music was all over the place.
All over the place.
But really good. But I think I heard somebody else saying that there was a song in there that was from like a Bollywood movie. And the scene that it was originally over was this just like very flowy, fun scene.
Mm.
And then to put it in an action movie, for somebody that knew that cultural context, it was like a really funny inside joke almost.
Yeah.
And I think this movie actually had a lot of cultural inside jokes if you're from an Indian culture.
I believe
That I'm almost glad like I missed them, because that almost makes it better, right? Like if everybody got it wouldn't mean as much,
but totally,
I
imagine
there are people from that culture that got the jokes, but inside I heard jokes. There was quite a few of those.
Yeah.
But I love the switch from that to then heavy metal.
Yeah.
Our friend Jack, who was with us, literally raised his fists up and started shaking them at the joy of that scene. But it was, because it was so over the top.
It's a testament to the movie, though, that both of those songs worked.
Yeah.
With the violence.
Uh-huh.
It was great.
Yeah.
And when you were talking about how it's like the camera must have been inside, like, close quarters, Deb Patel said that the elevator fight is one of his favorite moments in the movie. And yeah, he had somebody who had to, like, choreograph, like, under his arm, like, in his armpit, you know, that sort of thing, so that he could get those angles.
Yeah.
And I think for me, maybe the moment in the movie, for me, the memorable one, is him just clenching his teeth down on a knife and slamming it into somebody's neck. Because it's visceral, man. And it was a joy to watch this for a second time. And just, I wasn't even watching the movie sometimes. I was just watching the people around me react to the movie.
Yeah.
Just like cringe and put their hands up and shield their eyes.
Yeah.
It was great.
I have a like larger question.
Yeah.
Just about, like, how do you feel about over-the-top violence in general? What are your thoughts on it?
Well, there's that classic interview with Quentin Tarantino where there's this kind of uppity lady who I think has a name similar to, like, Janice.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, why is there so much swearing and violence in your movies? And Quentin Tarantino is obviously upset at this point, and he's just fed up. And he's like, because it's so much fun, Janice.
Why the need for so much gruesome, graphic violence? Why not let us imagine a little of it?
Because it's so much fun, Jan. Get it?
Oh, really? Okay, I'd like to see you walk down the street and get attacked by some kids who've just seen your movie.
Oh, but you thought, but see, Jan, you're all messed up because you're talking about real life.
Oh,
and I'm talking
and
about the movies. You gotta
kids
get it straight. Now, if you want to talk about the movies, we'll talk about the movie.
And I love that moment.
Oh,
and I think there's a lot to that where, like, for me, I think violence was very desirable, and like it drew me toward movies because it was off limits or taboo when I was a certain age, where it's like, okay, you know, with my friend group, we knew what was the first R-rated movie you watched, like, with your dad.
Yeah.
But then there was the R-rated movies you watched at sleepovers.
Yeah.
Where you're like, I watched that too young, but you're like, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So for me, like, I think it is really fun. And also, I just loved I wanted to be unique and special, and I love the countercultural aspect of violence, where a lot of really great filmmakers make great movies that have crazy violence. Like, we've done an episode on even like a low-key, I wouldn't say low-key, but like calm movie compared to Monkey Man, The Banshees of Inisherin.
Yeah.
You know, it uses violence for storytelling.
Yeah.
And some of the ones that I think of is like Shaun of the Dead or Hot Fuzz or The World's End, these Edgar Wright movies with like crazy violence. But I think it, like, it can be used for such like shocking, memorable thematic moments. So I usually love it when it's done well.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought this movie did it well for the most part.
Yeah.
Same. And I think I think part of Dev Patel's answer would probably be like, yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like entertaining.
Kick
and
ass.
It like, I think it pulls something out of people that's just kind of really like primal. I have like to separate out a couple of things. Like, I have to compartmentalize a little bit, because most of me is just like, yeah, whatever. I'm an adult. I can handle it. It's not doing much to me, and it's fun, and it's not like, it's not actually hurting it. Like, I'm not the video game mom that's like, you know, it's ruining our kids. I don't think kids should watch this movie.
No, I don't either. I don't.
But I don't have any, I don't have any issue with it per se. I think I separate out also the like, Rohr calls it the myth of redemptive violence. Like, so I think this movie makes some really interesting cultural points, political things that are specific to India, but I also think apply to our culture too. I think he's doing something really interesting. And outside of movies, I don't think that violence actually solves anything.
No, yeah.
And I don't think that was the point of this movie or anything like that, but I do wonder, like, that that myth is really prevalent in the culture. And so I think I just sort of, like, hold that of, like, I have to separate that out from just, like, the entertainment of it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I wonder, what is this doing to my brain? And that's where I think I have to do it in, like, spurts. Or, yeah. Like,
yeah.
How much of this should I be taking in?
I think that's smart.
What is it desensitizing me to?
Interesting. In movies and media, or in real life, or in both?
I wonder if there is any type of relation between watching, like, a lot of violent media and desensitization to, like, human suffering in the world.
Interesting. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't have any articles on that or anything like that. But, and I don't think if I saw extreme violence in real life that I wouldn't react to it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I will say, like, there's just a lot of really violent media out there right now. And I'm like,
oh, yeah, definitely.
I wonder what this is doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is happening?
It's like American culture to not care about violence in movies. I mean, maybe, you know, that's an overstatement, maybe. Like, I think a lot of people care about it. But it's way more tolerated than a lot of other things in movies. Violence and swearing, it's like, yeah, that's just, it's not even taboo at this point. It's because it's a feature.
Yeah.
It's a staple.
It's like, there's something sort of like, I think, natural in me that after I've watched a lot of really violent content, I'm like, I need to not do that. And I don't know exactly what that is. There's something that I know. Like, I think I know intuitively that there is too much of that.
Interesting.
You know?
I feel like maybe that's just healthy. Maybe.
Right. But I, why?
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it's not like I'm going to go hurt somebody.
Yeah.
Or be fine with violence in the real world, right?
But, well, in the context of this movie, and then in addition, the context of, like, its messaging, I think it's in conversation, at least, with what you're talking about. Because at the very end, the top bad guy says to him, you know, don't attack me, don't kill me, it'll just continue the cycle of violence.
Right.
Which is a weird thing for you to put in your movie if it's like, violence is okay. But he goes immediately against that in his actions by stabbing our main character, the kid.
Yeah.
He's just called the kid, supposedly.
Right.
He doesn't have a name. Bobby is the name he gives himself. Yeah, and for me, to be honest, like, sometimes the messaging of the movie, I was like, okay, it's wanting to have its cake and eat it too. And to be honest, usually I just kind of give that a pass. Whenever movies have its cake and eat it too, I usually give it a pass. But with this one, it felt like, okay, there's a lot of real world implications here and messaging. Maybe it would have had a more powerful message if it had a more of a, like, non-violent message at the end. But the movie did so much work to get us to absolutely hate the villains. To I think, like, justify all the violence.
Yeah. They're not redeemable.
No, they're not.
In the eyes of the movie.
Yeah.
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 And as, yeah, as characters. But I do, like, I would agree with that statement by the bad guy. Right? Like,
yeah.
I don't think violence is redemptive. I think it just perpetuates violence.
And maybe that's why John Wick chose to, the writers chose to have him have his dog killed. Because it's not political then. It's just personal.
Yeah. Well, and, like, I wanted Dev Patel to kill yeah. that guy. Right?
And that's what, like, the movie wants you to want.
Right, right. Yeah. Like, it made me want it, and I didn't want it.
Yeah.
And out of a movie, right? Like,
yes.
In a movie standpoint, yeah. It would have felt pretty empty for that movie to have ended any other way.
Yeah, I was actually thinking a little bit about this on my second watch, because I watched it on Friday and Saturday, and I was like, so the main bad guy, the one who gets the most screen time, his name is like Raja Singh. His last name was Singh. The big jawline guy. Huge jaw. Just, I was in awe of his jawline. Anyway.
I don't think I noticed, yeah.
What?
I don't know.
Okay, anyway. I don't know. He's a very handsome man outside of being a horrible villain. And he was like, you know, punching him over and over and over and over in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is spoilers at this point. But I thought to myself, like, if he doesn't kill him here, the movie doesn't work as well.
Right.
Because he's done such horrible, awful things. And this is the thrust of the movie. And, like, you got to have him achieve his goal in this. Because the movie's a crowd pleaser. Like, I literally just watched an interview where Jordan Peele and Dev Patel talk about, like, giving the audience what they want.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I mean, like, it for does. A lot of movies, filmmakers do that.
Yeah.
In and fun yeah, and interesting
and I
ways.
And I don't think that is wrong or anything like that. I think, yeah. I don't know that I have a well-formed opinion about how I feel about violence in movies. And maybe part of growing up is I don't really feel like I have to.
No, yeah.
You know, I feel like I don't have to.
Yeah.
There was a time in life where I felt like I had to know what I thought about everything.
Yeah.
And I also thought that everybody else needed to know what I thought about
everything. Yes.
And now I'm like, I don't really know what I think about that. No, I don't know. It's complicated. But it's fine. I'm still going to watch it.
Yes.
And I might feel a little weird.
Yes.
That's fine.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is.
Just a few days ago, I was thinking to myself, like, calm down, Isaac. You don't always have to have a take. Like, having a take on things. I think our mutual friend Kevin talked to us, I think, about this. The movie Vengeance has a good monologue at the end with that guy, punked guy.
Ashton Kutcher.
Ashton Kutcher, yeah.
That's a great movie, by the way.
Yeah, it's a fun one. I didn't love it.
I loved that movie.
I thought it was fun.
This might be the first time we've disagreed on a movie.
Yeah, there's going to be more, probably. But, I thought it was fun. But, maybe you were talking. It was me, you, and Kevin talking about this. But, yeah, he's got a great monologue at the end where he's like, everybody's got a take.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, calm down, Isaac. Like, I'm talking to myself here. It's like, take life so serious. It's not that serious.
Yeah.
There's a Vampire Weekend line that says that. And it plays in my head sometimes.
The thing I took myself too serious. It's not that serious.
I sometimes have that as a therapist where you feel like you gotta have a take.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like,
yeah.
Nope, I don't.
Yep.
I don't have a take on that. And it's fine.
Yeah.
And people don't need me to have that.
No. It's actually probably better if you don't like preset, like download all of your takes and then walk into a situation where you're like, this is what I think. Because like life is way more nuanced than that.
Yeah.
Like if I just had a take on, let's say, like parenthood or whatever, you know, I've never been a parent. And if I had a take on it, then I couldn't like think correctly during a situation where somebody's talking to me about it. I couldn't like take in all the variables that are unique to this situation or any parenthood's just the first one that came to my head. And it feels like, have you ever had it where you believe something and you said it, but you shouldn't have said it? For example, I was just talking to my friend about how like way back in college he broke up with somebody, and I was like, oh yeah, I didn't ever think that you guys were gonna, you know, I didn't really see you guys together. Mm-hmm. But that was like the day that he got broken up with.
It's not a good time.
And like, even though I was right, I shouldn't have said that. Uh-huh. Or quote unquote right, you know, like whatever.
Yeah.
And then like last week his mom said that to him. And his mom was like, gosh, is it okay for me to say that?
No, but, it's not.
I mean, it is because it's years later now.
Oh, okay. You know, I thought this was like a new breakup.
No. It was the same relationship she was commenting on.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like 8 years later, whatever it is. Yeah. So I just think that's funny how, like, you know, even though you might have a take on something, maybe you shouldn't say it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had one. I'm a little embarrassed about this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Our friend Hannah brought one up to me that I said, I think it was like 5 or 6 years ago.
Oh, dang.
And I was like, oh, I hate that I said that. I hate that you remember it. And it was, and I don't even believe it anymore.
Okay.
So it's just triple whammy.
Yeah.
It's all bad. But it was that, I think, women describe men as creepy, right? Like if they get approached by a man,
yeah,
they describe him as creepy. And I was like, I think sometimes that's just women of saying they're not attracted to him.
Oh, yeah.
No. Sometimes dudes are creepy. Yes. And I think women can really intuit that.
Yes.
And I think they know that sometimes like a guy is just creepy and it's not coded for anything other than that they shouldn't be around him.
That is really funny.
Yeah. And Hannah was like, I was really offended, and I was like, you should be. I shouldn't have said that.
You were right, yeah. Oh, man. Dude, it's crazy how many times in my life people have told me, like, oh, I remember when you said blank, blank, blank. And I'm like, I have no memory of saying that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I wish I did. Yeah.
Yeah. People remember stuff, like, from, like, sermons and times I've been speaking from a stage. And,
yeah,
like, you said this. And it's, you know, sometimes they're like, and that meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I didn't say that at all.
That would happen in improv all the time. We would have a show.
Yeah.
And then next week somebody would be like, oh, remember when you said this up there? And I was like, nope, I don't remember. Or I would remember and be like, I thought that was a bad joke on my part.
Uh-huh.
You know, but somebody was like, that was my favorite part of the show.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, crap. What do I know? Nothing. Yep. I know nothing.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So I agree. Like, I don't understand where to approach violence in movies, but I do think that I was reacting against my mother, who, like, never wanted anything to do with violence or whatever in movies.
Yeah.
She would, like, literally plug her ears and close her eyes. Yeah.
That's
even when, like, we're so listening funny to a book on tape.
Yeah.
War scene, that would happen.
Yeah.
So, and like, good for her. Like, she knows her limits. She knows her boundaries. And she can quote a Bible verse about, you know, whatever is pure and blank, blank, blank. But I, for me, wanted more variety from my media. Mm-hmm. I felt like she was just eating a small sliver of the pie.
Yeah.
So I was like, I want the whole pie over the span of my life. So if it's good, I'll watch it. I don't care what genre it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like, to be clear, I really like a good violent movie.
Yeah.
Like,
it's satisfying in a lot of ways.
It's satisfying. I think they can be done really well.
Yeah.
I do think it does take some work to separate out, like, the movie from some of that other stuff.
Totally.
But I also feel fully capable of doing that work.
Yes, yes.
And it's fine.
I'm a grown man.
Yes, exactly.
I can watch this or not watch it, but it's my choice.
Mm-hmm.
I think that something that came to mind when you were talking about this is there's a excellent 10 out of 10, in my opinion, YouTube channel called Red Letter Media. And there's three dudes who talk about movies. And one of them's name is Rich and the other one is Jay. And Rich was like, Jay, you are the nicest, most joyful man I know, but you love misery and violence in movies. And like, what is that? And Jay was like, honestly, like, it's a safe outlet for me to, you know, experience those things. Like, nothing's going to come of me watching a TV show or movie that's violent.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's a safe outlet.
Mm.
So I think that's great.
It's kind of how I think about, like, why I still listen to a lot of, like, pop punk, like, emo music.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like an outlet for that thing that I don't always have an outlet
totally
for.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they do the violence, so I don't have to.
Right. Those guys are sad.
No, sorry, I meant movies. Like the
Yeah.
But yeah, like, you know, a lot of successful artists are on drugs or doing poor life choices sort of things. And they make beautiful music and hard things. And I get to vicariously experience
They're
that.
They're just taking one for the team.
Yeah, exactly, dude. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Yes. They're doing a service.
Please get better.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I am a firm believer that you do not need to be mentally unwell to make good art. That's just fundamentally not true.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I think the opposite is more true. When you're healthy, you create better things.
Mm, yeah.
Like Dev Patel, he's healthy. Look at him.
Yeah.
He's healthy.
Maybe it's just that being unwell leads you to want to create things more.
Yeah,
I think that's why there's more of that.
That's probably true. Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Monkey Man.
Monkey Man.
Just stay tuned for Monkey Man 2.
That's right.
Double Monkey.
Double.
Oh, one last thing. I really loved his monkey mask. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah.
And I loved the bleached one, and I felt like it didn't have enough screen time.
No, he takes it off immediately. Yes.
It's like, wow.
And then it's just like, which I get.
He's probably inhaling bleach fumes.
Tough to fight.
Yes.
With a mask on, you know?
Totally.
But that really felt like he was really leaning into some unnecessary symbolism there, but
yeah. I mean, and Charlton Copley, who was the announcer, did an amazing job.
Yeah,
everybody did a great job.
Yeah,
so good job with this movie, Dev and company.
Way to go, Dev.
Yep, we'll see you next week.
Bye.